Guests have arrived now. There's no super PAC that can bribe your five-year-old to try the Brussels sprouts, but there is an art to loading up your plate. Architecture and engineering. We call him the Frank Lloyd Wright of food, the Elon Musk of the modern meal, Tesla Dan Pashman, host of the Sporkful podcast, explains the perfect way to savor that high-performance moment of truth.
Well, the first thing you want to think about is preparing to get the most out of that meal as an eater. And that means being at the right level of hunger at the moment that you sit down.
So you want hungry people at that table.
You want hungry people, and you yourself want to be hungry. And I actually debate this with my wife. I don't know where you stand, John, but what do you think, like when people come into your home for Thanksgiving, do you put nuts out? Do you have snacks out on the table before you sit down?
Never.
I think no snacks should be served before you sit down. And no appetizers. Don't just put out mindless snacks because you feel obligated to feed people the moment they walk in the door. And as an eater, if someone does that, don't eat it. Save your stomach space for the main attraction, the stuff that you don't get to eat most of the year. Like cashews will always be there.
And nothing with truffles. That'll fill you right up.
That's right. Yeah. So when you sit down at the table and you begin to take food, really give thought to, you know, you only have so much plate real estate. How are you going to divvy that up? How are you going to make the most of every bite? A bite is a precious resource. You only get so many.
Right.
So don't focus on fillers. The foods you want to focus on at Thanksgiving are the ones that you can't get other times of the year. Okay, the special items. What's your favorite bite at Thanksgiving, John? Like, describe to me. It's on the fork. It's going to go into your mouth. The bite that you're most excited to have at Thanksgiving.
That's interesting. It's a bite of stuffing, roasted Brussels sprout, and a little bit of turkey breast with gravy.
In that order?
However it appears. I mean, just sort of all on the same fork.
That does sound like a good bite, so I commend you on that. But I would suggest that you might want to even give thought to the order in which those things appear on your fork. Because I've identified a concept that I call the proximity effect, which is that when you take any bite of food, whatever is in closest proximity to your tongue will be accentuated. All right, so whichever of those flavors you want the most of should end up on the tip of the fork. Now, you also have structural constraints to worry about. Stuffing is a tough thing to keep on the tip of the fork if it's a full fork. So you probably can't end with stuffing, but either those Brussels sprouts or the turkey will provide a nice cap for you.
Do you actually tell people that they got the wrong thing on the front of the fork when you're sitting next to them?
John, well, I got a whole what I do is I say, perhaps you'd like to read my book.
I see. Yeah, proximity is all wrong. That's there, right. Buddy. Yeah, you're ruining your Thanksgiving. I'm surprised how ideological some people are about particularly this snack issue. I mean, some people describe like the whole idea of eating anything before a Thanksgiving meal as an insult, as like you come to somebody's house and you're like pouring ink on the carpet.
Well, I agree. I think it is insulting when someone's been working all day and possibly for days to prepare this huge meal for you. But I will say that there's also some onus on the host, don't you think? Because like the host needs to show respect for the eaters in the context of giving a good invitation that provides details like here's when we're going to eat. Like when you invite people for Thanksgiving, you shouldn't just tell them when to arrive. You should also let them know when you're expecting to sit down to eat. Because
mm-hmm.
we eaters need to plan ahead for that kind of thing.
So cocktails at 5, dinner at 6.
Right. Whatever it is, people want to know that. And I want to know that before the day of Thanksgiving because my whole day is being planned. It's all a buildup to the crescendo of mealtime. And I want to be ready for that crescendo.
Cheerios at 9. Potato chips at noon, cocktails at 3, dinner at 5.
Yeah, like that's a good layout. Yeah. You have a regular breakfast, maybe a light snack in the middle of the day to hold you over. You want to be hungry, but you don't want to be starving to death.
Yeah, I don't eat anything on Thanksgiving. I never eat a thing.
Well, because you're cooking, right?
Until I just wait till the end. Here's Jeff. One year, my wife's aunt, who had volunteered to bring the turkey, called 30 minutes after dinner was supposed to start to say she was just leaving and would be at our house in about an hour. She said she would finish cooking the turkey when she got to our house. Should we have eaten without her and the turkey?
I mean,
that's...
There are so many things wrong.
I'm thinking death penalty.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm thinking...
First of
class
all...
Class A felony. I mean, really, yeah.
Yeah, but, I mean... If you're going to entrust the turkey to someone who's not at your house on the morning of Thanksgiving,
right?
Like, they're not waking up at your house. You better make sure that's a person you can count on. Now, I'm sure that Jeff's aunt has many fine qualities, but it seems like reliability may not be one of them. And so I really feel like actually more the sin is on Jeff, because how do you entrust that kind of responsibility to someone that is not ironclad in their commitment to Thanksgiving and turkey and generally showing up on time?
That's like one of those people that you're on your way over to their house and they're serving brisket, and you call and you say, we're on our way over. And they go, great, I just put the brisket on.
Right.
You know, you won't be eating for 6 hours.
Right, right. Yeah. In Jeff's particular case, I would say you got to wait for the turkey. I mean, it's Thanksgiving.
You got to wait.
You got to wait.
You don't have a choice.
And also the question is, like, how far along was the turkey cooked? The aunt is going to – she's now traveling in the car with partially cooked turkey, which in itself is a food safety hazard because now it's dropping in temperature. When bacteria see a partially cooked turkey driving down the street, they're like – it's their lucky day.
Yeah. So she's trying to kill them.
Now you got to overcook
she's
the turkey.
She's trying to annoy them.
I mean, really, this is – I hope you had some good pie, Jeff.
All right. So for the meal itself, the sitting down, the camaraderie, the I'm not too full, the leave room for dessert, what's the rule that you would say is the most useful for people celebrating Thanksgiving in this year of 2014?
Well, from the eating perspective, it's – understand that a bite is a precious resource.
Right.
There's only so much stomach space. Use it well. Focus on the highlights. And take a break between dinner and dessert.
Ah.
And go for a walk. The constitutional, the post-dinner constitutional, crucial. Okay? Get a little bit of your appetite back. Then go for dessert.
I'd be happy to have you around my table, Dan.
Oh, thank you. Is that an invitation?
Yeah, it's an invitation. Can I come over to your house one of these days, too? Yeah?
You're more than welcome. You got it.
Dan Pashman, the friendly host of WNYC's Sporkful podcast and author of the new book, Eat More Better, How to Make Every Bite More Delicious. And as we've learned, a bite is a
precious resource.
Thanks, Dan.
Thanks, John.